Hi, greetings. God bless you. Thank God for life, health, and strength. Welcome to Spiritual Bricks That Rebuild Lives. This is Apostle Lonesine Cooper. We thank God for you joining us this evening. Today is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Today we want to talk to you just a little bit about miracles. Everybody is searching and looking for a miracle, and guess what? God is the deliverer. If we would take a moment to read our scriptures, let us go into the book of St. Matthew, the second chapter of St. Matthew. Just going to talk a little bit from the scriptures about miracles. Everybody, like I said, are looking for miracles. What in the world is a miracle? Actually, a miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. It's an extremely outstanding or unusual event. It's a thing or it's an accomplishment. I believe in miracles. What about you? Matthew 2:13 and 14 says, "And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt." Jesus, now listen, Jesus was conceived by a miracle. This is our first miracle. And after his birth, the enemy immediately started his journey on trying to destroy him as Savior. God had a plan, amen, for Jesus' life. He wasn't just born just to say we have a baby, but there was a plan, and the plan was to save mankind. So the devil's first instrument that he sent out against Jesus was Herod and Herod's army. We got to destroy this child because he already knew the plan that God had and what was going to happen. He knew that his time, his days was running short. And the devil's first instrument was Herod. And so God sent an angel to warn Joseph of the impending destruction that was headed their way. And this started the move or the trek toward save the Savior or saving the deliverer. This is typical of saving Moses, his grace when Moses went to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh sought out to Moses' mother. I'm sorry, Pharaoh sought out to kill the children because he knew that there was a deliverer, amen, amongst the Israelites for the people. And so Moses' mother saved Moses for that particular reason, so that he would someday deliver the people. For years, for centuries, the people of God have needed deliverance, needing to be set free from one bondage or another. And usually it's always a bondage that the people have gotten themselves into. So as Jesus began to grow, as the child grew, Matthew 3:13, he started to perform these miracles. He became the miracle. So he started working in his miracles. And in the 13th verse in chapter 3, it says, "Then come Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for this it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Some people search for a divine cure that's unhealable, some kind of disease that the doctors have said it can't be healed. Some people search for financial miracles, to come in the mail, money to come in the mail, a check in the mail. Some people are looking for some money to miraculously appear in their bank account. hoping to find a bag full of money, a relative suddenly dies and leaves them as the sole heir of their wealth. So, but whatever the desire, you can be sure that whatever the miracle can be performed by God to make this happen, there is a line outside the door, and it's growing till it reaches the farthest part of the world. We simple human beings are praying and hoping for divine intervention in just about everything. When it's a disaster, not before. The key to this is seeking God before things happen and not after they happen. Jesus was baptized with water and with the Holy Spirit, and he did no miracles until after he received the Holy Spirit from the Father. He was confirmed, and this was his witness that he was who John said he was, because John was the forerunner, and he was preparing the way, telling the people to make ready and get yourself right for the coming of the Messiah, prepare his way. And the thing I love about John is that John was serious about his work. He didn't come as one seeking jewels and money and fine clothes and houses. He wasn't looking. He didn't care. He wore camel's hair. Whatever it took to cover his body, he covered his body, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He wasn't a glutton. He had a work in front of him, and his desire was to do that work, to prepare the way for the coming of the Christ child. And so honored with the privilege to baptize him. When he came to him to be baptized, we know in the scripture, John said, wait a minute, you need to baptize me. But Jesus told him, suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Whatever the scripture says to do, it becometh us to do it. And so the one whom he has been preaching about for years to prepare his coming, get yourself ready, repent of your wicked ways, begin to prepare yourself for the coming. He's here. Jesus, the one who has come to save the whole world, humbled himself right at the feet of John the Baptist, we call him, the servant of God. And so he did that so that the will of God can be fulfilled. One scripture says that he came to do the work of him that sent me. He didn't come to walk away from his work or to side, you know, step his work or find a better way. He was the way. Jesus represented the new man and the new way, the way of the Lord, through acceptance of Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. If we go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1-11, he was tempted in the wilderness. First, there was his birth, then it was his baptism, then it was his temptation. Verse 1 says in chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 5 says, then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Devil always got a word for you. But that's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, so you can return the word to him. It is written again, Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil takes him up into an exceeding high place, a high mountain, and showed them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. For it is written, it is written, it is written in the scriptures, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, only God, worship only God, and him only shalt thou serve. After the devil heard this, then the Bible says he left him. The devil will enter the church. He'll come into the church with a word from the book, and he'll use that word and try to perform miracles and make it look like he's doing the will of the Father when all the time he's deceiving. Jesus began his ministry the day after John announced that he is Jesus. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so John the Baptist and Jesus used a different approach to the people, but the deal was to get them to mend their ways and turn from sin. And so John went directly to the core, and he dug right in, and he gave them a quick and a stern warning. And he didn't pity-pat the word. He didn't fix it up. He told them to turn from your sins. There were times when the Pharisees and the scribes and all those lawmakers that were trying to bind the people up with laws, and they weren't even keeping them themselves, would come and try to see what's going on. And John tell them, where are you going? Who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Call them vipers, and Jesus himself called them vipers. They were snakes. We have snakes that are creeping in daily, all the time, in the trying to get into the presence of God or into the lives of the people. The people are being sucked in by these snakes and by these vipers, and they're saying things that's pleasing to the sight of the people. People like to hear stuff that's going to appease their flesh and get them feeling good, but when the truth comes, they don't want to hear the truth. When the truth says, you got to turn from your wicked ways. You got to stop sleeping around with Jody and Sally. You got to stop living a double lifestyle, the homosexual lifestyle. You've got to give your body, your soul, your mind over to the Lord. They don't want to hear that. The Bible says, serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. People don't want to hear the truth. They want to find a way to get something. And so when we have people coming as a deceiver to give them something or make them feel good in their flesh, they jump on it. You see, Jesus entered into the people's lives, but he came to share the joy. He came to give to get rid of their problems and sorrows and give them victory, victory over their sorrows, victory over sin, or to let them know, if you have to be in the fire, I'll go in the fire with you. I'm there with you. He came to offer them something better than what they were used to. He came to take them to another level in God. The rules and the regulations, just they ain't doing it. The laws that the people, the lawmakers and the Pharisees that put upon them, that these laws are not getting it. This is something they needed, something else. And I thank God that he brought something else to us. So Jesus, that's his first miracle after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus, in the scripture, when Jesus sent the 70 out, the apostles, and actually we'll get to that somewhere down the line in our reading, but when he sent them out and they came back rejoicing, it was like, Master, you know, even the demons, you know, obeyed us, and the healings and the miracles that were wrought at our hand, and Jesus said, I'm giving you power, I give you power. And he began to tell him, he said, to let you know who I am, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning to the earth. I was there. I saw him being kicked out of heaven. You know who I am? But he began to tell them, yes, you have that power. I gave you power to tread upon serpents. I gave you power to cast out devils. You have that power, but listen, that's not the thing you need to be excited about. That's not the thing you need to be rejoicing about. But you need to be rejoicing at the miracle of your name being written in heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, that's something to have a party about. It's okay that the spirits are subject unto you. This is an attribute of the Holy Spirit. God has given us control whereby the enemy has no jurisdiction over us. When Jesus went into the grave and came out, he said, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The world don't have that power over us anymore. And so his first miracle was to change water into wine. This was a representation. This is it. This is point, this typo of him pointing us toward the coming of his blood, accepting the blood, changing the blood in our, receiving the blood of Christ and changing the blood in our veins, glory to God. Remember at the well, when he began to get to the well, and when we get a little further down the line, when he told the woman of the well, if you only knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would ask me to give you a drink. When we're flushed and washed in the blood, cleansing, the miracle, the change, the blood changes your heart, changes your mind. And so they were at, in John chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, they went to a marriage. This marriage was in Canaan. And so the scripture says, verse 3, and when they wanted wine, these people had drank all the wine now, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. She already knew. Mary already knew what her son was capable of doing. She already knew what she wanted him to do. But Jesus looked on her and he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, this is not my business. It ain't time for me to work any miracles. His mother did not change words, but she turned to the servants and said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I believe in miracles. Whatever he tell you, as long as you do what he tell you to do, you're in line for the miracle. Hallelujah. If you want to receive the miracle, obey the word. Obey the Bible. Obey the laws of God. Living holy. Loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And loving your neighbor like you love yourself. We want to love God, but we don't want to love our neighbor. And I'm not talking about the person that lives next door to you. Yes, that's your neighbor. But what about the one that you don't know in the grocery store? Or the one that homeless and has no food or no shelter, no clothes. That's your neighbor. Love them like you love yourself. When you see them, have mercy on them. Have pity on them. Good Samaritan. And so she began to tell them, whatever he tells you to do, whatsoever he say to you to do, you need to do it. And that's what I'm saying to you today. I believe in miracles, but you can't walk in miracles except you're a child of God, except you're following God's ways, God's laws, except you're walking in holiness and in the spirit of God. You can fake a miracle. You can fake the word. I mean, there's so much imitators of everything out there. These days, I was looking on Facebook, and I'm sure half the people out here that are on Facebook already saw it, where they were making eggs. And I said to my husband, I've been buying boiled eggs from the grocery store so I don't have to boil in it, so I can have my breakfast every morning, get in her and get out of here. I said, oh, my God, I might have been eating those fake eggs. I hope to God I wasn't, but who knows? I don't know if I'm never going to buy a fake egg anymore, but then you don't know. You buy an uncooked egg. Is that real or not? You don't know what's real. You see TV and it looks so real, but guess what? With special effects and these studios and these green screens, you don't even know what's going on. You don't know what's behind the scenes. But the one thing we know is that the word of God is true and it is real. And as long as you obey, guess what? You can walk in that miracle. And so we all know the story, how the water was changed to wine because they obeyed him. Whatever he did, he told them to go get the water pots and fill them up. And that was it. I mean, they just said, well, we don't need water. We need wine. But they didn't change words. They went and did that. All you have to do is whatever the word of God said, whatever the will of God is for your life. If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't have it. You need to get the Holy Spirit. You need to ask God to send his spirit to you because it's hard to live this life in our flesh. In our flesh, the Apostle Paul was so right, and we know that to be true because we're all human beings. Dwell is no good thing. We fight daily. We war daily in our flesh trying to live and try to walk according to the purpose of God. But without the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us, and I don't care who don't believe that it's real and that it exists, we do have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He is real. He dwells on the inside of us. His spirit quickens us. He doesn't force us to do anything, but he will quicken. People will say, well, you know, something told me, but the Spirit of God, the Lord is speaking to you. You just need to give ear and hear because the devil ain't going to tell you nothing good, and he's not going to tell you anything right. And so he said, and now let's go to John chapter 4. Somebody is talking about miracles here today. In John chapter 4, verses 4 to 14, he says he's the living water. Listen. Verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. I was talking about the woman at the well. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being warned with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he was given the living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? You don't have anything to put the water in. And this is a deep well. So where you have this water, this living water that you're offering me, basically what she's saying. Verse 12, art thou greater, she says, than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus said unto her, whosoever drink of this well, this Jacob's well that Sister Gail talking about, whosoever drink of this well shall thirst again. But so whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. I remember the days when we sang this song, he's a well of water in my soul. They don't sing that anymore. He's a living well of water in my soul, bubbling up in my soul, quickening me. The living water, he began to tell her, you will never, ever thirst again. The things of God are spiritually discerned, and she's trying to discern in her flesh what he's trying to tell her, what he's speaking to her. But he's trying to awaken her spirit, and we all know how far it goes when he began to tell her about the husbands and the men that she's been with that are not even her husband. But we know that he is a miracle worker. He sat there and he put the word to her to let her know that I am the healing water. You drinking this water here, but let me give you a metaphor about water. Ask me for the living water, the Holy Spirit, the gift of life. Ask me for the gift of life. And I promise you, you'll never thirst again. That living water that quenches every desire, every thirst, even your desires change when you get filled with that living water. That your talk changes, your walk changes. You know, you don't even think like you used to think. You have no desire like you used to have in the flesh, all that stuff that we hunger for, you know, want to spend $1,000 on a pair of shoes. You almost beat yourself. You know, you'd rather give the $1,000 to the church than spend it on a pair of shoes. But when you're in the world, you buy the shoes and then the church get the change. But when you get that living water down on the inside, you give the church the $1,000 and the shoes get the change. Now, y'all ain't going to go with me this evening, but guess what? We're talking about miracles here. Glory to God. And everybody is looking for a miracle. I don't care who you are, where you live, who you live near, who you are, your family name, you know, what royalty or non-royalty you are, what authority you have. You're still looking for a miracle. You want something to happen out of the ordinary in your life, something that you don't have to work for. So, you know, you just want it to happen. There's something that you're looking for in God. Glory to God. Amen. Something that nobody else can do. And you might have gone to the doctor this week. You might have gone today. Glory to God. And you got some news, my God, that you don't want to let it to be a part of your life. You want to just discard it and say, you know, it's not going to happen. I rebuke that or whatever the case may be. But in your inward man is saying, yeah, but the doctor said, or yeah, but they said, and they know. How about God knows? When Jesus said, even the very hairs on our head are numbered. Who can count the hairs on our head? Nobody. Nobody. I don't care who you are, what miracle you think, God, what scientific experiment you use, you cannot count the hairs on your head. But only God can, and he knows everybody's head and how many, even the ballpark, even when the hair that you lost, he knows what you lost. And so the first healing, John 4, 46 and 50, it began to say, the word began to say, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, verse 47. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And then said Jesus unto him, exceed signs and wonders. Guess what? You will not believe. We have people like that today. It's like doubting Thomas. If I don't see it, the nails and the holes in his hand, and put my finger through the hole, I'm not going to believe it. The Bible says, Jesus said, blessed are they that believe and have not seen. God is looking for a people that will believe him. They don't have to see it, but just believe it anyhow. a people that won't, but that will be careful for nothing, but just in all things give thanks and again and offer prayer and supplication before the Lord. Because what? I believe in miracles. That's what God is looking for. So Jesus began to tell them, except you see it with the signs and the wonders with your own eyes, guess what? You're not going to believe. And the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Come to me, else he'll die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He could have just stayed there and said, you know what, I need you to come and lay hands on. I need you to come and touch him. And sometimes we have that. There are people there out there that certain people have to pray for them, and they won't take God at his word. I mean, that prayer offered up, God hears it and he receives it. But there are certain people we have to have pray for us, and sometimes we want them to touch us. Come touch and put your hand on me, as if they're being touched by God. And actually your faith is in that person and not in God. But this man said, the scripture said, the man believed the word. Believe the word. Somebody say, believe the word. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. Wow. All he said was, go thy way, thy son liveth. Powerful, powerful words spoken by the miracle worker, spoken in faith, believing and knowing. Remember at Lazarus' tomb, when he went there, before he even called Lazarus, he said, Father, I do this just so these people can see. I know your power, but they need to see your power. Glorify the Son again, like you did in heaven. Let these people see the move of God, because people are so doubtful and so unbelieving. When he cried, they even said, oh, he's crying, he's mourning for Lazarus. But I believe he was crying because he looked around at the unbelief of these people that were mourning and crying. And he done told Martha and Mary that he gonna live again. Your brother will live again. Calm down. Calm down. If we could just calm down and understand that God is in charge of all things, seek him. Jesus himself said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be added unto you. And then there was the miracle at the pool of Bethesda. Listen, the Bible says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep a market, a pool, and which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halted, withered, waiting for the move of the water, because an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then got in there first, after the troubling of the water, who stepped in was made whole and of whatever disease that he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity for 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. And when Jesus saw him lie, and he knew that this man had been sick for a long time in that case, and so he said unto him, will you be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, said, sir, I don't have anybody that when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, somebody else jump in before me. And Jesus said unto him, listen, at his word, Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I believe in miracles any day of the week, glory to God. If you take him at his word, he asked the man, will you be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? In other words, do you want to be healed? A lot of times we do. Everybody wants healing. But we got to elevate our minds. And in God, you got to come out of your natural thinking, because the carnal mind ain't going to understand the things of God. We are so off base and so far away from God. He said, my ways are not like your ways. My ways are as far from you as the east is from the west. And so our ways are so separated from God. So in order to walk into that miracle, you got to have to believe God. He said to the man, rise up, rise and take up your bed and walk. And so he did that. He got up. This man, do you want to be made whole? You're worried about somebody putting you in the water. The one who is the living water is here. So get up from there, rise up, and be made whole. My God, somebody say, I believe in miracles. Preaching is what? Then there's the preaching in Galilee, Luke chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. And 17 says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I bless you and thank you, Father God. God, I give honor to your name, Father. Father, you're so holy, and Father, you're so deserving of the praise and of the worship, Lord God. We give the honor unto you. All things are done according to your will and to your purpose. You created man, Father God, and you created us that you would get the joy out of our life. And Father, I ask that you look on us today, Father God. We repent because, Father, you have not been getting joy out of our life. Some of us are living our lives according to how we want to live them, so far and so separated from you, Lord. But Father, we're asking for mercy, Lord God, asking that you created us a clean heart and renew the right mind and spirit on the inside so that when we open our hearts and our minds, Father God, we'll be able to walk into miracles, Lord God, to understand, Father, that the power, Lord God, is in the spoken word. The power is in your word, because your word is said, God, that you watch over your word daily to perform it, Father God. And as we begin to seek you in the word, you said that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It's written in your word, Father. It's praying time. People are not praying anymore, Father God. They're praying for things and instead of praying for people. But God, we're praying for this nation. We're praying for the other countries and the other providence and regions, God. We're praying for the leaders and the spiritual wickedness in high places that it be brought down to nothing, Father God. We're praying, Father, for those that are blinded, Father God, by the light, God, the wrong light, Father God, that the illumination of the evilness, Lord God, that is begun rampant upon the earth, Lord God. We got people killing and shooting every day. Somebody is shooting somebody in some public place or in schools, Father. The enemy is running rapid, Father. And we join in prayer with our brothers and sisters all over the world, praying, Father God, that you would jump in and intercede, Father. We need a praying saint, God. We need a praying church, God. We need people, Father God, that will call on your name, because you told the prophet Isaiah, "I'm looking for a people that will pray for a nation that's dying and don't know it's dying." Father, we know that this nation is dying, Lord God, because they're so separated from you, Lord. But we are praying, Father God, for a refresher, Lord. We are praying, Father, that you would turn the hearts of the people unto you, Father God, that this world will fall down on their knees and say, "What must I do to be saved, Lord?" Father, we thank you, Lord God. We ask that you work miracles, Lord God. Show forth your power. We're in the last and the evil days, Lord. War's about to break out, Lord God. Uneasiness is all over the land, and people are confused in all areas, Holy Spirit. But we're asking, Father, that you stir up the saints, God. Give them a voice to cry out and pray and to speak unto you, Father. Lord God, as you begin to honor our prayers, Lord God, and dispatch angels out, Lord God, to do your bidding, dispatch the angels out, Father God, to work on the behalf of the people, Lord God. And we give you praise and honor. Father, we thank you, Lord God, because there's somebody listening and replaying this broadcast and need a miracle, Lord Father. But we ask, Lord God, that you were able to cleanse their heart and put them in a position, Lord God, to walk, to be that walking miracle, to walk in that miracle, in the newness of life, Father God, that you have sent to us, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, because I speak blessings over every ear that hears this word, realizing that Jesus himself has already set the in motion. He set the atmosphere, and all we need to do is follow the atmosphere, because he said, "The works that I do, you're going to do a greater work, Father." Bless you for the greater work ministry within the hearts and minds of your people. And we say, have your way, Father God, not our way and not our will, but let thy will be done. In Jesus' holy name, praise God. God bless you for listening in to our Spiritual Bricks That Rebuild Lives. We'll be tuning in again next week. Want you to join us, Lord God. The Lord God is moving on our behalf. He's moving on your behalf. He's moving out stuff that you don't even know he's moving. The enemy has set stumbling blocks in the way of most of the people, and people can't see them. But guess what? While you're walking, God has angels moving those stumbling blocks out of the way, and I'm so happy about that. So be encouraged. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. But there's going to come a time when you're going to seek him. If you don't seek him now, if you're going to seek for him, you're going to search for him, and he won't be found. So it is time to seek, because he told Jeremiah to tell the people that if they seek, they'll find me. If they seek, search for me with their whole heart. So put your whole heart in it and begin to search for our Lord. God bless you. We love you until we meet again. In Jesus' name, be blessed.